You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everyone, to a new episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast analysis of all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. On this Friday, a very happy Friday in Houston, with news just breaking of Clint Capela re-signing with the Rockets on a five-year, $90 million deal. To break it all down, I'm joined by a good friend of my own personally and friend of the program. It's Rockets Radio Network host Adam Clanton. We've had him on before, but I figured on a very happy day in Houston sports, Adam's one of the guys who I know really cares about this basketball team, so I thought it'd be a great time to pick his brain. Adam, how's it going, my friend?
Good, man. Thanks for having me back on.
Absolutely. Always a joy to talk to you. And before we go into the many layers of this, I just want to get your initial thoughts when you saw the tweet first broken, actually, from Kelly Eco here locally, then confirmed the terms by Adrian Wojnarowski nationally, 5 years, $90 million. The real takeaway to me, Adam, is that the big three, and make no mistake about it, Carmelo Anthony might be a star in nature, but the Rockets' big three is Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capela. And now, after this offseason, all three of those guys are under contract through 2022. So coming off a year in which I believe they were 42-3 in the regular season when those big three played, and 65 wins, having the Warriors all but beaten until the ill-timed Chris Paul hamstring injury, to be able to bring back the core of that team, it's a pretty good day, is it not?
Yeah, I got to first start by congratulating Kelly, because yeah. When you beat Adrian Wojnarowski on anything, that's pretty impressive.
No doubt.
My first initial thought was, thank God he didn't sign the qualifying offer. That was yep. my initial thought, because then that opens up, you know, free agency all over again a year from now, and who knows what happens. So if you look at the offseason for the Rockets, I know everybody's going to talk about they didn't get LeBron James, but, you know, if LeBron James' mind was made up to go to L.A., then you just got to deal with that. There's nothing you can do if you're Daryl Morey. And so with that in mind, having said that, I think Daryl Morey's had a pretty good offseason. When a lot of people are saying he didn't, the executive of the year brings back Chris Paul. He is able to get Clint Capela to sign long-term, and he's about to get Carmelo without having to spend the MLE. And I think, just between the two of us, I'm low-key excited about the James Ennis signing. I know a lot of people aren't yet, but a lot of people weren't excited about P.J. Tucker last offseason when I was. So I know that maybe people are thinking I'm looking at things through Rockets color glasses, but I really feel like the offseason, all things considered, has been a real success. When you talk about a team that, yeah, they did lose Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute, but it's not like they're just, you know, coming back with the roster minus those two. They're going to bring in reinforcements. It's going to be another, you know, different no-look, another wrinkle to Mike D'Antoni's squad, but this team isn't going anywhere, and they're going to be right there with the Golden State Warriors again.
I can't get past the terms of this. You're looking at $18 million annually for 5 years. There's no concern going 5 years for Capela, given his age. You can understand why they wouldn't give that deal to Chris Paul, given that he's 33 years old. But effectively, Clint Capela is 24 years old. He's still getting better. Just look at how much progress he showed from year three to year four. So effectively, this deal carries him through his age 28 season. And when you look at some of the other deals on the market, I know there were some exaggerated circumstances a couple of years ago, but Ryan Anderson is making $20 million a year here. So to get Clint Capela, a difference maker, really one of the top five centers in the NBA, I would say, in the playoff run, he outplayed both Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. To get that level of value, someone that in the Rockets switching system led by Jeff Bezdelic can switch on to even Steph Curry and Klay Thompson type guys, to get all of that at below $20 million a year, in today's NBA, that feels like a fabulous value. Is that where you're at?
No, it's a bargain. And that's part yep. of what I mean when I say Daryl Morey's having a really good offseason, because he did that, you know, from a financial standpoint, he did that. And if he does indeed get Carmelo Anthony signed for the veterans minimum, you still keep that mid-level exception. So you're in pretty good shape for a team that has, I think, the fourth highest payroll as of right now. And they, you know, I think they're going to pay luxury tax, obviously, but all things considered, yeah, they're also the best chance at beating the Golden State Warriors in the West, if not overall. So, yeah, it's a bargain when you talk about some of the big men that are out there, and you name the other, you know, usual suspects when it comes to, you know, big men in the NBA, but top five centers, Clint Capella is firmly entrenched in that group. You could argue that he outplayed those two guys you mentioned in the postseason. And, you know, Boogie Cousins' injury notwithstanding, I mean, other than that, what do you got? Anthony Davis? So this guy has, like you said, the trajectory has been there from day one. He's improved his numbers and the way he has acclimated to whatever the team has needed him to do every single year he's been in the league. And now, like you said, the Rockets are going to have him locked up for his prime years alongside James Harden and Chris Paul. It remains to be seen what will happen with Carmelo Anthony, but that's a nice little nucleus right there you've got going forward, and a very, very good reason for Rockets fans in Houston to feel very good about their franchise moving forward.
You mentioned the name Boogie Cousins, and that's interesting to me because, of course, anytime you mention his name, even given the Achilles, a lot of NBA fans roll their eyes because to see him go to the Warriors felt like a gut punch for everyone. I understand why from a talent perspective. But one of my Twitter followers actually made a really good point. His handle is Prime Zach. But he asked me this afternoon after news broke, with Capella back and the Warriors signing Boogie, Capella should be more playable versus Golden State because Boogie can't play defense well. And Adam, I started thinking back, because obviously you go to all the Rockets home games. When the Rockets played the Pelicans this year with Boogie, Capella more than held his own. He dominated those matchups on the interior, especially defensively. Boogie got his stats, but he had to work, sometimes took him out of the flow of the offense. And you could make a case that while Boogie certainly makes the Warriors more talented, it also makes them more traditional. There were a few moments last year in the 7-game playoff series, and of course everything for the Rockets comes down to how do you play the Warriors, in which, as good as Capella is, when the Warriors go ultra small with that death lineup, where exactly is the fit for a traditional center? Well, you could argue that now that they have Boogie Cousins, if they're trying to play Boogie Cousins more, then that gives you, if you're the Rockets, an even easier avenue to keep Capella out there against the Warriors for 30-plus minutes per game. It's a take I hadn't thought of because we're just learning of this in the past hour, but it sure seems to make a heck of a lot of sense that maybe Capella is now even more playable against Golden State now that you've got Boogie Cousins in the fold.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a Hampton 5 guy, obviously, and he does do things differently than what we're used to seeing from that squad. I think, you know, first and foremost, he's a big man coming off an Achilles injury. And not only is that, you know, a question mark, there is no precedent for a big man coming back from that kind of injury and performing like he did before. So he is the guinea pig of the NBA as far as a dominant big man suffering that injury. And then let's see what he can do as he comes back. And in that vein, he might not come back until after the new year. So we're going to have to wait to even see what he can do once he does come back, and then have to start judging, okay, have they, you know, acclimated this guy into what they do? Does he get, or is he still happy with his touches? You know, on and on and on. And that's a big experiment, but when you know, when the rich keep getting richer, you can afford those kinds of experiments, I suppose. My big question will be, you know, does he and Draymond Green throw down in the locker room before Christmas? That's what we're all hoping for. You know, those two personalities, I think we all, if we're injected with truth serum, know that the biggest enemy or possibility, I guess I should say, of the Warriors being defeated is from within in a lot of ways. I like what the Rockets have done, and I like their chances, but until they do it, that's where I'm going to stand on the Warriors. And so, yeah, there's a lot of question marks going into the season for the Warriors with regards to Boogie Cousins and just with regards to, you know, how they're doing from within. Is Klay Thompson's contract situation going to be a distraction? He's kind of talked about taking less money the way Durant did, but you can't pay all those guys forever. You just can't. It's going to catch up with them. The summer of 2016 obviously helped them out, and Boogie Cousins' injury is what helped them out. He wasn't exactly having people beat down his door this summer to give him a contract, and so when he did what he did, there was a shock initially, and then when you kind of let the dust settle and the smoke clear and look at that situation a little bit more closely, it's not as if they're going to get, you know, a guarantee, the Boogie Cousins we've all come to know and love. It's going to be a process over there, and it'll be one of the more interesting subplots of this upcoming NBA season, I think.
I want to turn our attention to the Houston front office, the executives. You touched on Daryl Morey earlier. More on him in a moment. But I want to take this all the way to the top with Tillman Fertitta, because anytime there's a new owner in place, there's always a little bit of skepticism. And after Ariza and Bamute walked, in part due to luxury tax concerns, although some of it's just a value equation for the Rockets, I think you're spot on in mentioning the James Ennis signing is a great under-the-radar move, 4 years younger than Luke Bamute and without any of the injury concerns. I don't think it was all about money. Nonetheless, you've seen some of this narrative with free agency moving slower than a lot of Rockets fans wanted, at least out of the gates. Well, are the Rockets being too cheap? Fertitta hasn't proven himself after Les Alexander. Well, Adam, I'm going to point now, we have now seen $250 million in guaranteed money handed out to Chris Paul and Clint Capella for the next 4 and 5 years. So through 2022, you've got those guys at $250 million. The team is well over the luxury tax. To me, more than anything, this move should make you sleep easier at night about Tillman Fertitta. Not that there should have been any reason to worry to begin with, but if you were one of those that had skepticism, to me, seeing the contracts that he has handed out, the willingness to go into the luxury tax, it has to make you feel pretty good that the Rockets are willing to do what it takes to have a contender in the modern NBA and keep this thing rolling. That was one of the first things that jumped out to me, was the Tillman angle. I know you're someone that deals with the Houston front office to some degree, so just give me your thoughts on that if you could.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people hear the word value and they associate it with cheap, and that might be true with some NBA franchises, but I think at this point Daryl Morey's probably, at least with people in the room that have a brain in their head, has probably earned the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you're talking about $15 million for Trevor Ariza? Come on. I mean, the guy was declining. Obviously, he famously went 0-for-12 in Game 7 of the conference finals, but let them do their thing, and then when it comes to the players that really do matter as far as the rubber meeting the road financially, Tillman has ponied up. I mean, it's a very short resume so far. He's only owned the team for not even a year officially, but he has definitely put his money where his mouth is. In fact, you got two franchises in town that are doing that now. So far, so good with the Astros as well. But there's really no reason for people to panic. And you talked about, you know, the offseason moving a little bit slower than Rockets fans would have liked. Well, yeah, there's the initial flurry on July 1st, but I mean, the Rockets have never really been a part of that kind of thing, other than maybe the Dwight Howard situation. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, Luke Bamute didn't sign with the Rockets a year ago until, I think, July 18th.
Yep.
Or maybe even later than that. So it's not – this is their M.O. Daryl Morey does not give out bad deals, Ryan Anderson notwithstanding, and I think that was, you know, the market more than anything. He's patient when he needs to be, and he's got contingency plans for contingency plans. So I think, like I said, all things considered, if Melo falls into place – maybe they make another signing. I don't know. I've heard some names out there, but I feel pretty good about the roster moving forward, and I definitely feel like if you're a Rockets fan and you're wondering, okay, how's this really going to go? Owners can talk the talk, but will they walk the walk after the introductory press conference? So far, so good with Tillman Fertitta.
When are people going to stop doubting Daryl Morey? I know we've talked about that to some degree throughout this podcast, but the degree of panic that we saw in the Twitter streets in early July over the Capella situation was just laughable to me. Because clearly, the qualifying offer, it is a serious threat. Because if he becomes unrestricted next summer, the odds are if he doesn't get his deal this summer, he's not going to feel good about the Rockets. And he would theoretically be likely to leave in that scenario. I get it. That said, Clint Capella is not Chandler Parsons. Parsons is about the only situation I can think of in terms of Morey, quote-unquote, losing a free agency situation like that, and look how it turned out. The fact is, Morey has been here over a decade. He clearly knows what he's doing in negotiations, and part of being willing to wait a few weeks was getting a deal that's more advantageous to the team, because now that you get Capella at under $20 million a year rather than, you know, the max, which is closer to, what, mid-20s per year, then that's a lot of extra money, especially when you consider the luxury tax, if that saves you to go after and get guys at other positions. So the idea that Daryl Morey was going to let Clint Capella walk was always silly. Now, you had to hope that the price would be more beneficial to the Rockets, and getting them an $18 million a year. I think that's certainly the case. But to me, Houston fans should know after 10-plus years of this that with a guy as quality as Clint Capella is, for the reasons that we were explaining earlier, it was a matter of time, especially with him being restricted. Daryl Morey was going to find a way, and yet every year it feels like in early July you have a segment of the Rockets Twitter community that goes into panic wondering if Morey knows what he's doing. And then, as you said, by the end of the offseason, every time Daryl seems to answer them quite well.
Well, you know, let's put it this way. For every time you look and roll your eyes at Ryan Anderson's albatross of a $20 million a year contract, that deal, like I said, was dictated by the market. That burned the Rockets. In this case, this offseason, the market was dictated as far as big men go. And unfortunately for Clint Capella, it means he didn't get a super-duper max deal or whatever you want to call it. And it worked out in favor of the Rockets because I think, you know, 18 per is a bargain for what he brings to the table. But again, it's supply and demand. It's the market. It's what was dictated by what was available. And when you started seeing the pieces fall like DeAndre Jordan and the fact that Phoenix took a big man with that first overall pick, if you're Clint Capella in his camp, you probably saw the writing on the wall a little bit. And just the options weren't there. I know it's, at one point Brooklyn was maybe going to be a team that you looked at because they had room, but then they made signings that took their cap space away. And then, you know, the dominoes just started to fall. And at the end of the day, Clint Capella was standing there thinking, hey, you know what? This five-year, $90 million deal is looking pretty good. And by the way, just before we got on you know, the line together, I saw that there is no team or player option for this contract. So I think it's a very win-win deal in this particular case, this individual deal between the Rockets and Clint Capella. And I think both sides are going to benefit very well. And you know, especially if they're playing into June next year, I think we'll look back on this date in late July and say, oh, remember all that drama? It was kind of funny. We can laugh at it now because all is well in Rocket Land.
Absolutely. Let's discuss before we move on to non-Capella subjects. I do want to get your take on Carmelo before we split. But Clint Capella, his attitude is something that's always impressed me. And I think it's especially important now because one of the things you worry about in the modern NBA is, well, what happens when somebody gets paid? Because to some degree, you have a lot of players, especially when they're on their first contract, playing so hard to get that big contract. And then when they do, you see some let up in terms of their commitment, especially in the offseason. I don't know about you, Adam, but to me, Clint does not fit that profile at all. Everything I've seen from him, what his teammates say in terms of his work ethic, he works as hard as anyone I have seen on that team. His work ethic is extraordinary. That's what he's lauded for around the organization, around the league. So I would love to get your take as someone that's very close to the situation, even closer than I am. Is there anything misleading about that? Or do you feel pretty good that even though it's a huge jump in pay to get $18 million a year, I don't really have that much concerns about Clint Capella's effort level waning because he got paid. To me, he does not seem like one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, you want to go to the NFL, you're worried about him being an Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah.
Because the thing about Albert Haynesworth was he had those nagging suspicions about him long before his contract years. Listen, I have never, and I've been around the Rockets, you know, a while now, and I've been following them, obviously, for much longer, most of my life. I've never, ever heard anyone inside that building or outside of that building have anything negative to say about Clint Capella whatsoever. And I'm talking about work ethic. I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about not only the ability to be coached, but the want to listen to coaching and to develop your game and to, you know, do the things that Dwight Howard, frankly, just wouldn't do, and that's why he's out of here. I mean, Dwight Howard could have been putting up these numbers and better if he had stayed here. Clint Capella plays within the system. He is the, you know, much less, I guess, highlighted cog in the machine that makes that engine go for the Rockets. You know, Chris Paul and obviously James Harden get all the attention and all the accolades and all the press, but I think, you know, without Clint Capella, it's a very, very different team, and he just does so many things that don't show up in the stat box, and does have that willingness, that go-to mentality of, yeah, coach me up, tell me what to do, tell me where you want me and how you want me to play, and I'll do whatever you need for me to do to make this team successful. And it's a big reason why they've got confidence in him, both the players and the front office, big reason why they invested in him, and a big reason why he's got, I think, a very bright future ahead in the National Basketball Association.
While we're on the subject of attitude, I want to ask you about Carmelo, because I know he's a guy that lots of people, including you, have been critical of in the past, myself included. The case for optimism that I keep coming back to with Carmelo, a lot of it comes down to the situational fit of getting him on a minimum contract. That's reportedly what's going to happen. Now, it's still not done to this point. He has been traded to the Hawks. We're still waiting on the Hawks to complete their buyout with him. Then he has to go through a 48-hour waiver period. But according to all the media reports out there, this deal is going to get done. It's a matter of when rather than if, and hopefully by this time next week, we're talking about Carmelo officially being a Rocket. But as far as him buying into his role, his motor, those types of questions that, as you said, are certainly not there and have never been there with Clint Capella, to me, the big difference between Carmelo heading into Oklahoma City versus Carmelo heading into Houston, last year there was no real incentive for him to shape up, if you will. Now, yes, I don't think he was as close with Russell Westbrook as he is with Chris Paul. Chris also much more of a traditional point guard. That stuff will help in terms of how they use him. But beyond that, in terms of buying into a role, I think this is the first time in Carmelo Anthony's career that he is now staring at his basketball mortality, that he is considering that. In the past, even last year, we all knew that was a two-year contract in Oklahoma City. He was guaranteed 1 year, $27 million for this coming season, 2018-2019, no matter what happened. At this point, with all the negativity that's out there, Carmelo has to make it work in a situation as good as Houston, or this might be it for him, at least at a high level. So to me, between that factor and between the fact that Houston has such strong, established leadership, in addition to locking up the big three, mentioned earlier, Chris Paul, James Harden, Clint Capella, all through 2022, Rockets also picked up the option earlier this offseason and Mike D'Antoni's contract, between that caliber of leadership established for multiple years, you can never assume it's done until it is, but to me, this is by far the best chance that I think you could come up with to see Carmelo Anthony succeed at 34 years old, and I believe his 16th NBA season. Where are you at on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's question marks about a lot of things in the NBA. We talked about Boogie Cousins earlier this season, and this is another big one. I do think the Chris Paul factor is something that you literally have never had in any other situation Carmelo has been in. You know, this time last year, people asking if Chris Paul and James Harden could coexist, and Daryl Morey and company got the last laugh on that. And I think they would like to have that again, obviously, and they're set up to have another low-risk, high-reward situation. And if it doesn't work out, they walk away, but they're not footing the bill for $28 million this year. That's somebody else. That's the Hawks. So, you know, it does come down to, okay, this is it, Carmelo. You're 34. You've got some gas left in the tank, obviously. Are you going to use that fuel efficiently, or are you just going to, like, you know, keep the pedal to the metal and run into a wall? I think, you know, nobody can read his mind. Nobody knows what he's going to do. He does have that reputation. It kind of, in a way, reminds me of the whispers you heard about Dwight Howard before he got here.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you're talking about coming into a situation where one of your best basketball friends and basketball minds is already in the building and has proven that he can make it work. So the accountability just falls on Carmelo. Those things weren't in place when Dwight Howard got here. It was like, all right, let's throw Dwight Howard out there with James Harden, hope it works. And it didn't. You know, eventually they went to the Western Conference Finals, and then we all know what happened the next year. So I think, you know, this is it. Carmelo may decide just to do his own thing like he always does, but if he doesn't, if he does buy in, if he does get that redemption, because that's what it's all about, look at Mike D'Antoni, then this has the potential to be very, very cool. A very good basketball story and something that we can all laugh at the Jason McIntyres of the world a year from now, because you know they're out there and they're all saying stupid things because that's what they do. But, you know, it's on Carmelo Anthony to prove them wrong, just like it was on Chris Paul to prove them all wrong last year.
Yeah, and as far as the Dwight Howard thing, keep in mind what you said, the first two seasons worked fairly well. They won 54 and 56 games the second year they got to the Western Conference Finals. So for a couple of years, they did make it work. And we were talking about a guy on a one-year minimum contract. If it doesn't work, they can cut him at any time and move on from the experiment. You're talking about a short-term Band-Aid, and there's every financial incentive and friendship incentive in the world for it to work. So, you know, it's far from a given, especially at his age and declining athleticism slash defense. But you could see a case that it works. Adam, the last thing that I want to get to before we close out, you mentioned potentially other signings. it seems pretty clear now that the MLE is mostly going to be held for buyout season during the year. We saw some comments from Daryl Morey alluding pretty directly to that earlier this week on the Space City Scoop blog. As far as the rest of the offseason, do you think they're done? Other than, of course, they use part of the MLE the other day for Isaiah Hartenstein, Young Prospects Center. They'll use another part, small portion, for DeAnthony Melton, rookie guard out of USC, and then they'll bring in Carmelo. After that, do you think they're done, or are they still combing through, you know, from one more, say, minimum guy that falls through the cracks? And if, hypothetically, you could get a minimum guy to further bolster your depth, where do you get it? You could look at, you know, guards. There's still a Jamal Crawford out there. He could be a ring-chasing minimum type. If you want wing depth, extra shooting, Nick Young is out there. There have been some links between the Rockets and Swaggy, as crazy as that sounds. They could go for a big man, because right now your backup centers, you don't really know who they are. Well, you know who they are. You just don't know what you can count on. Nene is going to be 36. Ryan Anderson, you don't know what you're really getting from him. And then the young prospects, Hartenstein and Shi, they have some hope for those guys, but they're very unproven at the NBA level. So just curious your thoughts. A, are they done? And then I guess B, if they're not, where would you like to see them add if they could theoretically get, say, a ring-chasing veteran to sign with them at the minimum?
Yeah, you know, I never like to say they're done, because when Daryl Morey's in charge, you really can't. But as to the second question of who it would be, I don't know the answer to that. The scrap heap has obviously been picked over, but I do think if there's a position, it's got to be the wing. Because even with the Ennis signing, if you decide you're going to start Carmelo with a three, for example, which is an option if you bring him in, if you decide to start him at all, I mean, there's so many questions that have to be answered, and he's not even officially a member of the club yet. I would still point to that three spot just because of what you lost from a 65-win team. In Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute, who that would be, you know, that remains to be seen. Without even having a list in front of me, I don't even know off the top of my head if I could throw a name out right there that would even be, you know, something that would be available. But if that is indeed what they want to do, if they want to add another piece, that would be where I would go. I do like what you said, though, about the center position, because, you know, Nene looked a little bit more long in the tooth last year than he did the year prior, which is kind of astounding when you realize that once he went down on that Spurs series, that was kind of the beginning of the end.
Yep.
It wasn't just a bad night at the office for James Harden in Game 6. But, you know, I would look at that potentially, unless they're just banking on Clint playing a whole lot more minutes this year. But I think if we're all, you know, thinking about last year, you don't want to do that, because we all know how that burned them with Chris Paul. And I don't even feel like he played exorbitant minutes. In fact, I think his minutes went down. But you just got to be cautious about that kind of thing. And I'll be interested on that note to see if a Mike D'Antoni lengthens his rotation just for the sake of saving some guys' minutes over the course of the regular season. But if it is indeed somebody that they add late, or even during the season, you know, because we all know about the trade deadline, obviously, and things like that, I would say definitely the three spot, and then to a lesser extent, the five.
Good stuff there, as always, from Adam Clanton, Rockets Radio Network host. Adam, thanks so much for the time, buddy.
Hey, you got it, man. Good to be on with you again, and see you guys this season.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Again, that's Adam Clanton. Follow him on Twitter, at Adam Clanton, simply his name. Longtime Houston sports guy. Always a joy to have him on the program, and hopefully behind the mic for another season of Rockets basketball next year. So with that, we'll wrap up today's show, and, well, this entire week of Locked On Rockets. It's been eventful as the Carmelo Anthony process nears the finish line, finally. And now we get some finality to the Clint Capella situation as well, with the 5-year, $90 million deal agreed to and signed Friday afternoon. Again, news first broken by Kelly Eco of USA Today Sports Group, and actually a former guest Locked On Rockets host. Could not be happier for Kelly, one of the best young journalists in the NBA, to break a story of this magnitude. Just an incredible work ethic and an even better guy. Could not be happier for him. So with that, we will leave for today and the week, but we'll be talking again early next week, as hopefully we get some finality on the Carmelo Anthony situation. So for now, this will be it. If you want any more content before the next show, the best place is always to get it is on Twitter. I am on there at Ben Dubose. The show is at Locked On Rockets. I've also got a Facebook account at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, an email account at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com, and a website at LockedOnRockets.com. Those are all ways you can access our content, ask me questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or even you, the human being. Don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. Also, if you haven't already subscribed to us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, wherever you listen to your media, there's a good chance you can find us because we're part of a great network of shows across the Locked On Podcast Network encompassing the NBA, NFL, even some MLB and college sports. That includes Locked On Texans, our sister show here in Houston, hosted by Robert Land and Brian Patterson. The Texans kicked off training camp this week in West Virginia, and Robert and Brian have you covered over there at Locked On Texans. But whether you're looking for their show, for mine, you can always find those at, again, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen to your media. There's a good chance we're there because we have a great network of shows providing local content. And if you would also be kind enough to not only subscribe, because that's how you'll get alerts when we have a new episode out, but also leave us a five-star review, because that's the best way that we can make things financially viable and look attractive to potential advertisers and keep this thing going as the most regular podcast covering, well, the Houston Rockets in my case and the Houston Texans in the case of Robert and Brian. So on that note, I hope everyone goes out there and has an awesome weekend. For now, this is it for me, but stay tuned because we'll have much more next week right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast analysis of all things Houston Rockets basketball.